All right. Well, welcome back again. November 13th, week number two.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll see if this gets published actually on the 13th. I think it should.
So
today we are going to be talking again with David Helps, the Chief of Staff of the Project Management Office over at the State of South Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. I gotta say it all out.
If I
say SCDHHS PMO COS,
they could be like, "What? Wait a minute, alphabet soup." Okay,
alphabet soup. Yeah. You work in government.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm glad that you're here with us again as a special guest. So. Want to try to pull some of your experiences. This week is a lot about stories, stories and leadership. So we're going to talk about the five levels of leadership, and what we want to try to do is relate to people examples through stories, but also examples through people that you may know.
Yeah.
And you know, even though we're studying John Maxwell in this area, if you disagree, let's hear it.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Let John know how it is, you know. So the first position is the first level of leadership. And what he's saying here is it's all about rights. People follow you because they have to follow you.
Yes.
And it's not because they choose to. It's they're a boss. This is a person in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And how you can be a leader when people follow you simply because they have to follow you. They don't know you or anything. And the story that gets related to us is from somebody named General Blackjack Pershing. And the story is basically simply this. There's some private or low-ranking person.
Yes.
They're in a trench, and how often do you find a general in the trench, right?
Not very often. So
the general gets into the trench, and it's nighttime, you know, they don't want to get shot or identified, and he lights up a match. Well, the private or sergeant or whoever it was shouts at the general, put that match out, and I'm sure, you know, it was kind of one of those, he didn't say it nice, put that match out, you idiot, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, sees in the flicker of light, you know, this is a general. Oh, my God, oh, I'm so sorry, sir, I'm so sorry. And so General Blackjack, he says, it's okay, son, just be glad I'm not a second lieutenant. So this one is about leaders where they're at the first level of leadership.
Yes.
Because we know we all got to climb, we all got to grow. And how can you relate this to project management and what you do in your role?
So this one's one of those double-edged sword ones, right? So this is the ones that kind of like what we were talking about last week. This is the ones where someone's gotten the title and someone's gotten the position. They've got to lead. Maybe they didn't do the growth that they were supposed to. I've had some bad experiences with position where, you know, you had to follow that leader because of their title, and by the way, they were leading you right over that cliff and you were just gonna have to follow. But I've also had people just in the position role to actually be successful and lead from their position and successfully lead a group just because of their position and their role. Had a gentleman that was over the project management office at another agency. We'll save the names. The person got the title, and we could tell right off the bat that he did not have as much of the experiences that some of us had, but he got the title, and he was driving towards a certain direction within the agency of taking the PMO more towards a guidance PMO, which is really a good decision. And for where we were and the people we were dealing with, being a dictative PMO was not going to go over real well. So being a guidance PMO was going to make us more successful. And he led from that position of, I'm here to help, we're here to guide you. And he didn't have to rely on all this extensive experience because he was driving from that guidance position, which made him very successful just from a position role itself. Of course, like I said, I've dealt with the position role that they knew everything and they were the smartest person in the room when they weren't and just drove us right over that cliff. But
I've been there. Yeah, when I was first starting out just professionally, not even really in project management, this is a difficult position to be in for somebody who is a level one leader.
Yes.
And it can also be a failure of their boss to recognize where they're at.
Correct.
And the story I have with that is I was at a very large accounting firm in Denver.
Uh-huh.
And they used to be two very large accounting firms and they merged.
Okay.
Well, in Denver, they had two IT support staff, each company. And as they merged, they needed four.
Yeah.
Well, as they needed four, somebody in San Francisco said, well, they need to have a leader, and appointed somebody.
Yes.
And appointed somebody that they liked. They didn't really even consider their leadership level or skills or anything like that. Didn't even announce it. We found out because she told us, I'm your boss now.
Oh.
And we were like, oh, okay, well, like, you're the last one we would have selected. But we had to follow her.
Yes.
You know, we didn't have any choice. And and instead of replacing them, to his credit, he just sent her to training and grew her as a leader. And she ended up being a very good leader, but really was put in that difficult position.
Mm-hmm.
These next two leadership levels can actually be run in parallel. And so we'll break them out. One is permission, one is production.
Yes.
And so these two are not intended to look at, you go to two and then to three, but it's rather they're in parallel.
Correct.
And it kind of depends on the type of leader you are. Are you one that's relationship oriented?
Yes.
Or are you one that's results oriented?
Yes.
And
yes.
I think sometimes I've even confused my teams because one day I'm relationships until results aren't there.
Correct.
But since you got to put a stake in the ground, so the level two is based on relationships.
Yes.
And so this is the one where it's people follow you because they want to,
yes,
not because they have to. And this is a little bit of a fantasy.
Yeah.
And some say, like, people are like, oh, I would rather people follow me because they want to, not because they have to. Well, sure, it's the next level of leadership.
Yeah, that's what we all want, right?
And it's like, yeah, I just want people to follow me because they think I'm a swell person, you know? So the philosophy here, and I've heard this time and again, is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yes.
And there are some people who are very good
at
relationships and building those relationships, but if you ask them to get it done, they're just not there.
Correct.
And at the end of the day, you know, you're running a project, you're running a business, you got to do something. But have you run into anybody who people rallied behind them because they liked them, not just because they had to, because they wanted to, but they weren't quite really results oriented?
Oh, yes. Yes. I've seen that in a couple of instances. I had a gentleman that I ended up bringing up to a assistant director in a PMO, brought him up, had always glowing, right, you know, comments from stakeholders and sponsors and customers and all that. So I was like, okay, so this person might do very well at being my second. Right, so brought him in, had him start working on some stuff. But at that level, I expected a lot more production from that person. So excellent at building, fostering, growing relationships, making everybody love the PMO. But then when I started hitting them with, okay, this in a month we need to be here, in 2 months we need to be here, and then all of a sudden the backwards back. Back, and I was like, okay, what in the world is going on? And so I dug in, and really good at talking to people and working with our outside group. But when it came to actually execution, he was always talking more than doing. I will say this: the one side of the coin is, as project managers, as leaders in general, we need to be good at building and fostering and growing relationships. But the flip side of that coin is being a people pleaser. And then you get into the people pleasing, and then that's when things start going a little left field. And then when you start getting in that direction, that's when people start missing deadlines. Because this person over here, you know, has something going on and couldn't get that done, and it, you, because they want to keep that relationship, they didn't really get into them. And then I told them, I was like, you've got to get on the people and get on them and push them sometimes. And that's hard, isn't it?
Especially if you come up in the same organization. That's why a lot of organizations will, if they promote you, they won't put you over the same team.
Correct.
For that very reason.
For that very reason.
Yeah.
Because you, it's difficult to push your friends.
Yep.
Because they were just your friends. Now that relationship has shifted a little bit. But it's difficult to do that. So
it doesn't really go well in a job interview, right?
Yeah.
You're saying, I'm not friends with these people.
Yeah.
No, I'll push them. I'll do it. I never liked them anyway. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the third level then is results.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting that he puts it at level two and three. He says it runs in parallel.
Yes.
But really, at the end of the day, if people follow you, but they are not producing. Mm-hmm. They need to be led, not necessarily cracked with the whip, because that would be level one leadership, right?
Yeah.
They're doing it because they have to.
Yeah.
So now you're here, you know, well, people have gotten beyond the fact that you're their boss, and now they are just, they're following you. And it's all about results.
Yes.
And a lot of times, an example needs to come out of this. An example provided in the book is a salesman named Gooch. And he's in Chicago. I don't know how he gets some of these stories. But this salesman, I don't even know what he was selling. But here's the thing in the book, right? Whatever it was, there's back in the day before the internet and all that, and you had to go door to door. Traveling salespeople.
Yeah.
And they didn't like this. The organization didn't like this particular salesman because he couldn't spell worth a flip.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was... Yep. He spelled Chicago as C-H-I-C-A-W-G-O something, and you know, he couldn't, like every word was like that poem, you know, an ode to my spell checker, you know, where every word is misspelled.
Yeah.
And so he gets a report, you know, he first goes out there and he sends his report into his boss, who's like a senior manager, and it's this horribly worded thing, and basically, in the story, he's telling his boss, he's like, all right, you know, I've gotten to where I'm going, and I'm going to be meeting with these people, and he's getting ready to fire him.
Yeah.
Now, they get mail, they don't get email back then.
Yeah. So
then, as he's mulling this over, thinking, I've hired a total moron, he gets another letter, and he says, just sold $500,000, which blew out all records in the company.
Yeah. All company.
And so, like a good, strong leader, the senior manager says, I'm not going to make this my problem. I don't want somebody who can't spell, but I do want the $500,000 in sales. So he bounces it over to the president of the company and says, what do you think I should do? Well, president of the company writes a letter to everybody. He says, you need to be less concerned about spelling and more concerned about sales. Like he spelled sales S-A-I-L-S.
Of course.
You need to be more concerned about sales. Keep your eye on the prize. So this is a results-oriented leader.
Yes.
Have you met any of these? And where do you see you right now?
Yeah. This is the task go-getter. Right. This is the task go getter. For me, I've learned to hone both of those. So I've learned to hone the relationship building, fostering stuff, but also learned to hone getting people to move and accomplish the work. Right. So for this type of person, I had pleasant young lady that worked for me at one of my agencies, came in, hit the ground running, knew how to accomplish work and get it done, knew how to just drive. The one of the problems was, and the flip side of this coin is perfectionism, right? Mm-hmm. So this, on the flip side of this coin, She accomplished and accomplished and accomplished, but at the same time, she was driving herself into the ground.
Yeah.
Sometimes she had problems letting go and delegating at this level. And so I had to work with her to teach her, okay, you can get that same work done and you can still get those things accomplished, but you can have your people that work under you help you more to get that work done. And so for me, I think I'm more on the next one up for the fourth one. So, but I think I'm more on the next one, but these two, I personally have worked in both of those arenas, the relationship versus the task. And as a leader, you really need to put yourself in both of those situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a project manager, it's hard to know which one to be.
Correct.
You know, and one of my biggest complaints about my fellow project managers, with all the love in my heart, is you're great at passing a very complex exam, but you've lost all your people skills.
Correct.
And, you know, they tend to be very results oriented, but they just left relationships in the dust.
Which is crazy, because that's really the bread and butter of a project manager, is relationships.
It is. I absolutely agree. All right, so now you've hinted at number four. So here's number four, people development. And they call it reproduction.
Yes.
So it's people follow them because of what they have done for them. So now there's that connection there.
Yeah.
Somebody has trained me, lifted me up, and it's kind of backed by this philosophy that leaders are great, not because of their power, but because of their ability to empower others.
Correct.
All right, now you put yourself here.
So, yes.
And 1 minute or less, 2 minutes or less, what do you have? How do you know you're there?
So I know I'm there because I have gotten a lot of, I'm really proud of those people that I have led that have surpassed me.
That's a mind shift change there, huh?
Yes.
It's not about you, it's about them.
It's about them. So of the people that I have managed myself, helped grow them here and there, different for different people. Some people a little bit growth adjustments. Some people I've helped them grow immensely. I've got four of them that are now running project management offices themselves and surpassing what I have done. So that is where I see myself in this particular spot.
And I can see in your face, like, when you talk about it, you're not talking about it from a point of jealousy. You're talking about it from a point of like,
yes,
I'm very proud of these
people. Oh, I'm super proud of each and every one of them.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. Now, what has been, just real quick, if you could name one thing that has helped you identify where you are from one to four and to move from one to four, what is that one thing that you're glad that you had at your disposal that helped you accomplish a level four leadership?
Honestly, I'd have to say I'm glad for the mentors that I had.
The mentors, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I literally was able to learn from two or three of some of what I call some of the best project managers, executive suite level people, like directors and executives, CIOs, all of, you know, COOs. I had the opportunity to work for some really good ones that pushed me and then showed me how, by doing what they did with me and pushing me in certain areas, it made me grow to where I could take over for them or take my own people to be better also.
Yeah, I think that's the key. A lot of people listening to this, oh, well, how do I know, or what do I need? What can I do?
Yes.
Sometimes it's not what you can do. You need that mentor.
Yes.
To help you along. And if you don't have a mentor, if you're listening to this, you don't have a mentor, you're stuck.
Yes.
You need a mentor.
You do.
So at least one.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then just kind of wrapping up, it was a little bit fun. Now, the fun one is level five, right?
Oh,
the
pinnacle. Oh, the pinnacle.
You're at the mountaintop. You're in the less than one-tenth of one-tenth of 1%. And to illustrate that, some of the examples are provided, you know, somebody who's reached the pinnacle of government.
Yes.
Is not a president. Yeah. Not necessarily, because there's lots of presidents all over the place, but it's not the pinnacle of leadership. So the examples he gives, Nelson Mandela,
Yes.
Even if you don't know anything about government.
Yes.
Everybody knows Nelson Mandela, right?
Yep.
Martin Luther King Jr., social activities. Who doesn't know this person as a leader?
Exactly.
And then Leonardo da Vinci. He had to go back a long time for that.
Yeah.
So arts and engineering, and then in education, if you didn't think that was far enough, I'd go back to Aristotle.
Yes.
You know, these are people that they're just the rarest of the rare. And a lot of people go to John and say, oh, you're a level 5. And he said, I'm not even close.
Yeah.
He said, there's no way. He says, I hope to be.
Yes.
But usually these people that are level 5s, nobody even knows when they're alive.
No.
You know, they look back
exactly.
And they feel the void that's gone when they're gone.
Exactly.
Who comes to your mind? Then we'll wrap it up on this one. But who comes to your mind as a level 5 leader now or even historically?
Wow, that's a good one.
They're rare, aren't they?
they really are. That is the problem. That is the problem. I think it deals with what's going on in the time that they're having to be a leader. And as you just said, then after that's done and then they're gone, that void that they would leave. In people's lives. Thinking about just that definition right there, I would have to say my grandfather.
Your grandfather, okay.
Yes. I did not realize how many people he had touched until his funeral.
Okay.
He literally filled one of the largest churches in Columbia, South Carolina at that time. They had to move his funeral to one of the largest churches to get everybody who said that they wanted to come say their farewells to him. I had not realized, and I knew him as granddad, and he had given me one of my first mentors, Pearls of Wisdom. And they, when I went to the funeral and saw the amount of people there, and saw the impact that he had made in other people's lives as an executive, helping other people in every way, shape, and form. And some of the stories they told me about him, I was like,
who was this guy?
Who? Really? And I knew he had a kind heart, and I knew that he helped a lot of people financially, personally, I mean, out of his own pocket. And stuff, and help people around the where he was the executive of, and seeing that gave me a whole different perspective on him.
Amazing.
Like I didn't even know that whole part of him.
Very good. Well, kind of. That's a good way to wrap it up right there.
Yeah.
I think so. Thank you for sharing that. You made it very personal.
Yes.
And that shows that a Pinnacle 5 leader doesn't necessarily have to be on the world stage.
No.
It could be a Pinnacle 5 leader for a community.
For a community. Yes.
That's
yes.
Great.
And that's what a lot more people should strive for.
Not to conquer the world?
Not to conquer the world. A lot more people should strive for being a pinnacle leader in their community.
Excellent. Well, let's leave it there. All right. Well, next session that we have, we're going to talk about the key to leadership prioritization. And this should be up every project manager's alley. So hopefully we'll do that. But thanks again. And
yes.
We'll talk during the next session here. Have a great day.